Yo, what is going on, everybody? My name is Brent Mukai. On another episode of the Brent Mukai podcast. Yes, yes, indeedy. Brent Mukai, voice actor, improv trainer, entertainer here in Las Vegas, doing my fucking thing once again. And hello to all of you fine mukuleles out there, all of you League of Extraordinary Brentlemen, all of you little Brentologists, you Brentophiles, you Brentomonopoeia, that's the words that I meant to say. Whew, okay. Anyways, sorry if my energy is a little weird and off. It is Saturday. I don't usually stream on Saturdays. Usually too busy, but today was like a good Saturday. I just came from teaching a class. Zen Kinji, what's up, dude? Today's your birthday. Happy birthday, Kinji. Let me give you some kisses. Let me give you some Brent naughty faces. Some naughty faces and kisses. That's for you. That's for you, dog. Happy birthday. You doing something fun? You doing something fun? I hope so. Froyog Saucer, I'm glad that your butt is prepared because you want your butt. Let me tell you, the last thing you want is to enter into the podcast, you know, and to come into the podcast and you don't have your butt ready. That is the one complaint I keep getting from all of the people who listen to the podcast. I look at all of the fucking comments. I look at all the reviews. Any one-star review, anytime I get a one-star review, I always know. The review is always the same. Ugh, my butt wasn't ready. I did not know I'd have to get my fucking butt ready for the podcast. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Here I am listening to this podcast and now my butt is completely sore. I get it, dude. Sometimes you need to prepare your butts, people. If there's one thing, that's why there's the precaution at the beginning of every episode of the Brent Mukai podcast. I say, if your butt isn't ready, if your butt is not prepared, don't listen to this podcast. Because your esophagus could potentially fall out. Has it happened? Twice. Is it rare? Yes. Of the million people listening to the podcast, how often does somebody's esophagus fall out of their butt? Only twice. Only twice has it happened. But you need to focus. Get your, and this is a warning to anybody who's listening, get your butt ready for this podcast. Don't ever, only twice esophagus, you know. We've had other people, you know, just random things. A lot of times it's just like a liver or a spleen, but an esophagus, only two. More often than not, spleen just falls out of your butt. You're fine. You're good. You got another one. Fuck, dude. Relax. You know, I can hear the paramedics right now. But anyways. What the fuck am I talking about? What's a pirate's favorite letter? R. Bot Mukai, everybody. Bot Mukai, ladies and gentlemen. Now Brent is going to have to bring lube for the podcast. I know, dude. Get your butts ready. However it is. And I'm not picky about how you get your butt ready. Just have it ready. The last thing you want when you're listening to a Brent Mukai podcast episode is to listen or watch and not have your butthole all ready, whatever that means to you. This took a weird turn very early. Froyog, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Happy birthday, Kinji. Sorry that I said happy birthday and immediately went into a whole rant about butts and how you need to get your butt ready. I'm feeling goofy today. Feeling goofy. Just came from teaching some improv. It was a good time. Interesting class. I was coaching on, not just coaching improv, but coaching people who are going to go and coach improv on how to coach improv. Brent, now with Pucker Power. Pucker Power, that's a great sticker. Pucker Power. All right. So, you might notice the title if you're watching this live. It says girlfriend. And I guess I'll tell you why it says that. I suppose I can tell you the reason why it says girlfriend. Kinji, girlfriend, not wife? No, fuck you, dude. It's been a month and a half. I've been seeing this girl. It's been 2 months. She pointed out to me. It's been 2 months. It's just been good. It's been nice. It's been fine. It's been like, okay, hell yeah, things are going good. We enjoy each other. We make each other laugh a lot, which is huge. That's a huge thing to me personally. I can't be with somebody who I find boring. I cannot be with a person. And it's hard for, I can't be with somebody who I'm who's only laughing at my jokes. I want to laugh at their jokes. Like, that's a big thing for me, is like, I need, in a girl that I'm going to be serious with, I need to find common ground with comedy with you, or else it won't happen. You know what I mean? Like, it just won't happen. So, right in the pooper. I almost decided to listen to this while I worked out. I'm glad I decided to wait. I would look crazy if I was trying to hold in laughter at the gym. Thanks, Nikki. Appreciate that. Insta-wife, because you are weird. Because you. Thanks, Gossamer Goddess. Listen, everybody. So I'm going to tell you the punchline of the story and then tell you. So basically, on the last episode, I was talking about, I don't know when is ready. When are you ready to say, you know, to call somebody a girlfriend, because I'm rarely ever in this position. Usually I date for a little bit, and then I either find a girl that it's like, I don't know that I feel too much chemistry, I'm fine with this, if it drops off, or, you know, she doesn't want to text me back, so I'm not going to text her and pursue her too hard. I didn't feel strongly enough for that. Or the opposite way around, where I'm texting, she doesn't text back, and it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll move on to the next one, because she's obviously not into me, so it's just a numbers game. It's repetitive, you know what I'm saying? I think people overcomplicate it, and they keep thinking that there's, like, only one person, but there's tons of people. I was just thinking about this. There's fucking tons of people. Heavy creamer scoop. You just keep doing it until it's already apparent. I get it, dude. That's exactly it. Girls RNG. Girls random number generator. Zen Kinji, yes, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly how you need to treat it. You need to treat... I was just listening to people talking about online dating, like people in their 50s, 60s about it, and they're like, I don't like it, I can't do it, it just feels like I can't find chemistry with somebody while I'm on there. And I'm like, of course you can't. That's why you try to go to the date, and then you find out if you have chemistry with them. But it's a really, really, really convenient way to get to know a lot of different people. So then that RNG is much more, I mean, dude, the more numbers that you have, the better. And that might sound weird, like that I'm putting it into these terms, right? Where I'm like, oh yeah, dating websites and dating apps are just designed to give you a ton more opportunities. But it's true. It's absolutely true. It's the same thing as like sales, right? If I'm going door to door, I can only hit a certain amount of people. But with the internet, I can go and email a whole shit ton of people and get more leads and get more opportunities to get relationships with those people so that I can fucking work with them. Not that different than old way. You just happen upon people on the internet instead of in real life. Yeah. Exactly. You get to a point where you can actually talk with them, and I think that is the ultimate goal. You still have to put the same work into it. Yeah. It's tough, and it's tough. It's not easy to do that, by the way. It's not easy to, you know, put your name out there and really put yourself out there and put your, you know, who you are out there. But I think you get what I'm saying. Think about yourself. An awful relationship is worse than being alone. You're the commodity. Yes. Yes, exactly. I did the dating thing for a very short amount of time this time around, met a girl, and just hit it off almost immediately. We were hanging out and doing stuff, and dating services make chemicals aware of each other, but you can't have chemistry until the chemicals mix. Exactly. Yes. There's like, you have your chemicals, I have their chemicals. You won't know until you mix them together what's going on. So. That's deep, man. Thank you. And thank you for Oyogsofser for the deep comment. So last episode I was literally saying, when is it time? I don't understand. Like, you know, I'm still a little, I got a little nervous. I guess if that's the right word, I got a little nervous because I told this big long story last episode about how I fucked up a relationship in high school because I dropped an L-bomb too early, too soon, dudes. Like a week in, and everybody was like, whoa, too soon, dude. But it was like, you don't get it. I've known this girl for years and years before. Anyways, that's beside the point. I'm done apologizing for what past Brent did. Now I'm into talking about what present Brent is doing. And here's the weird thing. This girl's dad is the reason why our conversation came up, and she's now... Do I say this? Brent Mukai has a girlfriend. Yeah. I've got a girlfriend. I've got a girl. She's not my girl. I don't refer to her as that's my girl anymore. Like, I'm talking about her because she is my girlfriend. And it brings a smile to my face and a warmth in my heart to announce that I know Masel fucking Tov, bro. Thank you, Froyog. Thank you for all of the ahs and the faces and the yays, everybody. I love y'all for supporting me in this. Thanks for being a part of this journey, right? When I first started this, I had no idea that this part would be like a part of this, right? I had no fucking idea, but I'm so happy and I'm so thrilled to have you here. To have you listening, to have you watching, to be here live with me to announce this is really fucking cool. Because I have a girlfriend. And really, unless you count, like, that first girl that was, like, my girlfriend for, like, a week. This is weird to admit, but I'm an open book. Like, this is my first girlfriend. Like, this is my first, like, oh, you're my girlfriend. And usually people hate the defining the relationship thing, and I'm so, you know, I'm not familiar with a lot of it, so maybe it's a little too soon in some people's eyes, but she is that's what we came to. And some of you might be wondering why it was that her father was the one. So let me tell you this is the story. This is the origin stories, right? So starts with us meeting, which is great. We were at the Qdoba. That was when we met. That was great. That was a fun story from episodes back, which she listened to, which is also fun. She'll probably listen to this as well. Quality matters in relationships, not the numbers. Exactly. I think so too. And I'm a picky motherfucker. Like I'm particular. And finding somebody who has, like, a weird sense of humor like mine is rare. That's very rare. So I'm so happy and so blessed to have found this girl who gets it. The Turbo Time story will always... I don't think there will ever be a moment where the Turbo Time story where me and this girl get together, we fuck, and at the very end, she says, "It's Turbo Time." After the sketch that we had just watched, that dude, the amount of laughter I had just off of that, I was like, that's so fucking funny. We just watched a sketch about this guy who is screaming out "It's Turbo Time," and for her to say that post-coitus, which I've said to her and she fucking hates when I say post-coitus, but it's a funny way to say it. Post-coitus, she said Turbo Time, looked me dead in the eyes. I was like, this girl, there's something special about this girl. Anyways, back to the story. So I'm hanging out with her. We just grabbed some dinner. We went to her place. We're laying down in her bed and like, oh man, yeah, we just done the nasties. We just, it's post-coitus. It's post-coitus. And we're just chilling. She goes and takes a shower and I'm like, okay, cool. Cause she's got to be up early. And I stick around cause I'm spending some nights and, I'm not spending some nights. I spent the night and we're laying down and we're just kind of hanging out and doing a little, you know, cuddling and whatever. And her dad calls and she's like, oh, it's my dad. And let me pick it up. So She picks up the phone. She answers. And she's like, hey, what's up? And her dad's just like the nice, like just so wholesome. Just a wholesome dad. She works in film and stuff. And her dad's just like, I met this guy who's trying to be like a... he's trying to be like a screenwriter. I thought that you two could connect, and you know, he's writing a bunch of stuff, and you know, you could never know too many people in the industry. Like, just a nice dude, like wholesome guy, not an Asian dad. The girl that I'm dating, Kinji, she's a white girl. She's a white girl, and I like that. I'm a fan. I'm sorry. Oh, yo, everybody. I'm sorry if you are. Hating on interracial marriages in 2019. I'm gonna tell you right now, I fucking love that shit. Oh my god, it is sexy to me. I love that shit. Asian girls, there's all kinds of Asian girls in Hawaii. People go to Hawaii and lose their minds because they don't see a lot of Asian girls. Then they see a bunch of Asian girls and they're like, holy fuck. I was the opposite. I grew up around all these hot Asian girls in Hawaii, and then I moved and came to the mainland, as it were. And I was like, oh my god, all these hot white girls. Hey, hey! You like what you like. Thanks, Heavy Creamer Scoop. Yeah, boy! Love you, Broheim. Thank you for the cheers. Be with who you want. You have to live with them, not everyone else. Exactly. Exactly. Like, that's the thing, dude. Like, this girl... And again, I've said this before, but maybe not everybody has heard it. I mean, I'm like 5'11", bordering on 6 feet. This girl is taller than me. She's like a few inches taller than me, like straight up, straight out. And I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't give a fuck about that. I don't care. My sister freaked out when I told her. She's like, what? You're so tall. I'm like, I know. This girl's even taller than that. She's like, what? How can you? And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about anybody else. I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks about that. I give a fuck about what I feel about this girl. So we're sitting in bed. We're laying down. Her dad's talking about all this stuff. And he's talking about the show that she just rapped on and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, I really liked working there. And then she just throws out, she winks at me and she says, and I really like Brent. And her dad pauses for a second and is like, is that your boyfriend? That's your boyfriend, right? She's like, yeah. And he's like, well, that's good. Good for you, honey. And then I said, in the sitcom version of this, I would legit, that is the moment where her dad would be like, oh, that guy? Ugh. Seems untrustworthy to me. What a piece of shit. The picture you sent me, he looks like a fucking trash monster. Like... And the dad just starts talking mad shit to her about me. And he's like, I think you were right. I think he does have like a small penis just by the way he looks. Like, what a fucking smelly fucking Asian. Like, it starts getting racial. Like, none of this happened. But in my brain, that's like the sitcom moment where it's like this incredibly sweet moment where her dad calls, where her dad says boyfriend. And she's like, yeah. And then he just goes on like this racist, like semi-racist, right? He's just, there's something shifty about his eyes. I can't see him enough to really, to really trust him, you know? Like, I would have fucking died if her dad just like went on there. Like, long-term that wouldn't have been great because I would have been like, well... Not great, but in my mind, that's where my brain went, is like, that's where the sitcom would go, and I would be like, ooh, and then we'd have an awkward talk afterwards, and that's just such a good sitcom thing. Heavy Creamer Scoop, yes, if you can't find a good woman, climb one. My ex was the same height as me. I'm 6'5". Damn, dude, yes. And there's something kind of sexy about a girl who's taller than me, too. I think there's something very sexy about that. She sounds wonderful. Grats, Brent. Thank you. Funny you mention that, because as an Asian growing up, I was always surrounded by around white people to the point I started preferring Asian girls. Exactly. I think that our brains go after the thing that we don't see a lot of. It's a sexy challenge. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is. But there are moments, I will say this, there are moments where, like, I am laying further up on the bed, and her head's, like, here, and she looks up at me, and that's, like... That is like, I don't know, there's something about that that just makes me smile. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like she's always taller than me. She's a very tall girl, very noticeable, but like something about when I'm just a little bit up higher and it's like this kind of moment, it's nice. I don't know why it makes me smile and it brings a smile to my face, but it does. Even if a family is not great, doesn't mean the person you are seeing is. Some of us are not much like our families. I know. And I want to reiterate, he did not say any of this stuff. I was just in my brain, and I told you this afterwards. I was like, in the sitcom or in the comedy movie, that's what would have happened. But he was just like, oh, good, cool. And then went on being just this wholesome, wholesome dad. So I was like, oh, fun, dude. Wholesome moments. My sister's the opposite. She's like 5'8", and she insists her guy be taller than her. More reasons behind it, but her go-to talking point is it's harder for shorter guys to spin girls when they dance. Yeah, I ain't a dancer, and if there's a girl who's like insisting that I dance, probably not gonna fucking work out. I'm sorry. Like, I'll learn how to dance, but I'm probably not gonna love it. I've tried dancing. I'm not a big fan. Hubby and I are both black sheep in our families. We're oddballs. That's great. It's great. Just a PSA for people. We can't be accountable for our families. We can't. There's no way. You can't be. And if he had done that, I wouldn't have taken it out on her at all. I would have been like, that's funny. I would have seen the moment for the comedy that it had in it. Like, can you imagine if that was a movie, if that happened? Like, and afterwards, I was like, that's so funny. And we both laughed about it. So, I mean, that's the sort of relationship we have. Anyways, after that happened, we were laying there and I was like, this is so serendipitous that happened, that the dad said that I was just talking about it. And so finally I was like, so boyfriend, huh? So, dad said boyfriend, you said, yeah. And she, I, you know, any number of things could have happened in her brain, but I took it as like, I think she was like, I hope that didn't freak him out. But again, any number of things could have happened in her brain. But she was like, well, I mean, are you comfortable with that? And then I was like, well, are you comfortable with me calling you my girlfriend? And she was like, yeah. And then we smiled and fucking talked for a little bit longer. And then she said probably the cutest thing she could have said, which was, good night, boyfriend. And now I'm here. Now here we are. You're not just looking at a man, okay? You're looking at a boyfriend. That's so stupid. I'm such a dumb. Man, apparently compared to my family, I'm the normal ball. I guess I'd be the white sheep. Go get out of here, Froyog, with your normal ball coming in here, and the parents didn't have a problem with you growing up. Get your ass out of here. Oh man, I'm just joking, Froyog. That's cool. I was definitely the oddball. I was a kid, legit. I have my mom on the podcast, legit, on tape, saying that she's said several times that if she fucking had me first, she would not have had a second child. And I can't believe she was that honest with me. That's the fucking funniest. This story is so damn sweet. That's adorable, dude. Thank you. I hate sappy things and I still think that's sweet. I know. She's a sweet, sweet girl. She's a sweet girl. She's great. I'm lucky as fuck to have her. Like, what more can you fucking ask for? You know what I'm saying? Like, she likes me. I like her. So, yeah. Now, here comes just a dose of reality. Here comes just a dose of reality for you all. Is that I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast yet, but she works in film. Here in town, she just graduated and right out the gate got a few jobs lined up. Then at one of the jobs, she hit it off with her boss. It happened really well, and now it looks like she's taking the next. She got promoted to a good position, and now it looks like to further her career, she's going to be moving to Los Angeles. She's going to be moving to L.A. Tell her congrats. I will definitely, Nerdy Diva Nikki. So she'll be moving to L.A. California. Four and a half hours from Vegas. And now this is where, you know, because I was totally like, you know, I when she told me about this a few weeks ago, you know, she was like, yeah, you know what that means. And I'm like, yeah, it means that you're going to have to move. And my first reaction was like, you definitely have to move. And she was like, oh, yeah, I definitely am. Because I've definitely been with some girls who are like of that mentality where it's like, I might stay for a guy. And I'm like, no. And she was not at all, which I deeply also respected. Because I'm like, I don't want you fucking staying here. I want you to go live out that fucking dream. You know what I'm saying? You want to move that way too, so goals align, and that's great. I know. I've been in a long-distance relationship for 2 years, and I'm moving next year. It's a cheap flight, short drive, you're fine. Good, heavy creamer scoop. I don't feel too worried about it. I don't know what it is. I don't feel too worried about it. I feel like we can make it work. As it is, we see each other a couple times a week, you know, and that's nice. But, I mean, we don't spend a whole lot of time. Like, I see her like 2 times a week. So I'm thinking that like if I just spend 2 days a week, you know, in California, then that might just be great. That might be exactly what we're wanting. You know, and I just make the transit out there, and then I have an excuse and I have a place to stay, and it's, you know, not an excuse, but like a reason, like a really solid reason, other than me trying to get out there more to pursue my dreams anyway. But yeah, so it's my, you know, my brain's been on a weird path. Today I woke up and was like, fuck, dude. Yeah, she's gonna, because the job's ending after this week. So it's like, it's getting more real now. And for me, you know, like a lot of people think that when I talk about improv and when I talk about all of the shit, like, you know, stop overthinking it and stay in the moment, stay present, don't worry, don't sweat the small stuff, you know, all of this shit, that I'm somehow immune to that. But the reason why I say it so strongly is because I know exactly where people are coming from, because that's my go-to move. That's where I go as well. I'm not better than anybody else. In fact, I'm the same. I'm the exact same. I just have a better barometer of when it's happening, and so I can tell myself, stop doing that. So in that vein, there have been some moments of like, oh fuck, she's gonna move, and then I'm gonna, oh, and then what if we can't make it work? Like there've been moments, but I calmly sit there and I say, she's still fucking here right now, for one thing. That's what I'm doing. I keep reminding myself and saying, hey, dummy, she's here right now. So enjoy this time. Take it one step at a time, and we can make this shit work. It's just one day at a time, not overthinking, because my brain keeps going to like, a year and a half, 2 years from now, maybe that's when I'm planning on moving to California. I don't know. The real answer is I don't know. If there's a good enough reason to, I might move there in 6 months. Who the fuck knows is my whole thing. Nobody fucking knows. Nobody fucking knows the answer. So that's what I got to keep telling myself, is stop fucking overthinking this shit. You dumb dumb. Thanks, Heavy Creamer Scoop. Thanks for the thumbs up, Broheim. But they're seeping in. They seep in every once in a while, you know. And so this is an interesting position. This is an interesting position to be in. My brain also keeps going to like, oh God, what if she didn't want to define the relationship? And what if she's just going along with it? But I'm like, no, that's not what happened. I think I would have felt it if that had happened. I think I would have known. I think I would have felt something. I think she would have come out and told me, like, I'm not comfortable with that. So yeah, you don't have to be in a hurry. You two are still young and have a long road ahead. Enjoy it. I know. The love ride is great. Treasure it. I do treasure it. Remotely Black, what's up with you, dog? You've missed out on me making the official announcement that Brent Mukai, your boy, has a girlfriend. This girl has gotten more serious. Last episode, I talked about how do you know when it's serious. This episode, I was like, okay, it got serious somewhere between Wednesday and now, like just 2 days ago. So I feel you. My sister's longtime best friend, literally since they were 1 year old, got a job about 4 hours away after graduating. She and I weren't even that close. I'm sad she's leaving. Make the remaining time worth it. It's not like it all goes south after that. Exactly. But yeah, your boy's got a girlfriend. Happy for you, man. Thank you. But this girlfriend happens to be moving away soon. And I've never been in a long-distance relationship. I'm very, you know, I'm extremely opinionated in communication and relationships and what I think makes things work and what I've seen doesn't work with this type of shit. Have not had a lot of this experience myself. I just haven't. So it's like there's a fear of the unknown for me. I guess that's what it is. Thanks for being here and letting me bounce these thoughts off of you and giving me some feedback here, people. This is really helping me out because just talking about it, just chatting about it is making me feel more comfortable about it, you know? Because it's like if I don't say it out loud, my brain just goes to like crazy places. Like I was driving like yesterday and my brain just went like, oh, man, well, what if you're not together after a month? And I was just like, fuck, dude. And I thought about that. And it was like legit like, fuck. And then I had the second thought come in, which was obviously stop fucking overthinking it, you dumb dumb. That's what I did. But these little moments of fear. I mean, it's human. It's human. That's all it is. It's human. And I'm sharing this, I guess, as part of me just trying to be as honest as possible, but I'm also sharing this in case anybody's listening to this and maybe they are overthinking a situation. So, you know, I'm letting you know my weakness and that you're not alone in this. Please don't feel like you're alone if you're overthinking it and you keep on having these thoughts pop up and you feel like, oh, a lot of these other positive people don't. I consider myself a very positive person. These fucking ideas still pop into my fucking head all the time. So, you know, treasure the moments as they come and think no further into the future than you must. Wow. That almost made me tear up, man. That, Froyog, treasure the moments as they come and think no further into the future than you must. It's exactly it. I always compare it to driving with the headlights on a dark, twisty road. And you don't have any there's no street lights. Because guess what? You can make it all the way home. All you need to do is take it slow and see what's immediately in front of you. No, you're correct. I've been in a great long-distance relationship and a bad one. Yeah, communication will make it work and not being too needy, I guess. I don't know. Never been in a relationship. Communication is key. That's always to me. That's why I like this girl also. We communicate really well with each other. She's always checking in with me. I can only hope I'm checking in with her enough. Literally, I'll make, like, a weird face and she'll be like, everything okay? And I appreciate that about her. I appreciate that, you know. Sometimes I'll make, like, a weird pause. I make a lot, and what I'm noticing is that I make a lot of weird pauses. She's like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, sorry, I was just thinking about, what I have to buy tomorrow or, you know, all the shit that I got to do tomorrow. Stuff like that. So she keeps those moments. She keeps it real for me, you know? You always wonder about the future, even after you are married forever. It's human nature. Right. Exactly. I don't think that gets any easier. And I think that the only way to combat it is to just be like, look, motherfucker, to yourself and be like, I am overthinking this, so let's fucking stop. Because it's like, you know, all of that manifestation stuff, all of like the secret and like what you think about is what happens, right? I don't think it's a mystical thing, but I think that if you're so worried, I think that if you're always just worried that you're going to lose the person that you're with or your partner, I think if you're so worried about that, then that comes out and stresses out the other person and then you do end up losing them. I think the surefire way to lose somebody is to worry too much that you're going to lose somebody. Does that make sense? Communication is key, but never feel you have to do something. Calling, texting, communication will come when it's natural. Good. Oh my God. Heavy creamer scoop. That is legitimately, you have no idea how much, you see how fucking big I'm smiling right now? I needed really hard to hear that. I needed so fucking hard right now just to hear that, because you have no idea, dude. Like, I was legit, I was walking through my door and I was like, we don't text as much as we used to before. Like, that was a thought that came into my brain. It's like, we don't text as much as we did when we first started dating. And then my brain was, and then I was like, I told myself, stop, you know, stop overthinking it. But you saying that to me is exactly it. Cause I've had relationships in the past where like, we stopped, like, she stopped texting me slowly, because of course when you're first dating, the texting is like on point and you're there and you're tuned in and all of it. And then it's like, and then after a while it's like, okay, well, we don't have to text every single day. And I know that in my brain, but I've done that with other girls. And the thing with other girls, when I stopped doing it, was then they started like losing interest, and it just, so then I started equating it to like, oh, well, they don't, If the texts dry up out of the fucking word well, you know what I mean? If the texts start drying up, then it's a sign that things are going south, or that something's not happening. Like, subconsciously in the back of my head, I guess I've had that thought, because I've been thinking about it like, oh, she doesn't text back as fast anymore. And I'm like, oh, I don't fucking text back as fast anymore. And then I keep thinking like, should I be? Should I be texting every day? Should we be texting every day? And it's like, and I keep overthinking in that way. And you saying just now, communication is key, but never feel you have to do something like calling and texting all the time. Communication will come when it's natural. Holy fuck, dude. Holy fuck, did that just ease? So that just seriously, that was exactly what I fucking needed to hear. So thank you for that, heavy creamer scoop. It's always something. Relationships are work. I know. 2 months in, you know, I'm feeling really good. So just make regular dates where you can touch base with each other, even if it's just to chat. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't think every time, like, I've done it a couple times where, like, I'm just like, hey, you want to grab some dinner before my thing? I can't spend the night. I can't go over, but I want to see you. So then we're like, yeah, cool. It sounds lovely. Man, it is key. My two strongest love languages are physical touch and quality time. Yet I have maintained an international internet friend for almost 6 years, and we talk enough Skype. So as much as I want to meet her IRL, I'm not desperate. I almost made an argument about love language before realizing I was the flaw in my own argument. Yeah, love language. I don't know. I don't. You know, love language is cool. She's moving like 4.5 hours away, which for you in the UK is like nothing. You can catch a plane. You can catch a train over to that. I wish that there was a train from fucking LA to Vegas. If that happened, holy shit, would that thing be packed all of the fucking time? Oh, I hope they build one. If they build one in my lifetime, I will be so fucking happy. You have no idea. You have no idea. Hey, just popping in before I head off to work. Thanks, Moxie. I was just feeling grateful just now, Moxie. And thanks for popping in. Appreciate you, homie. Like you say, you make Tuesday your night. You see each other on Skype if you are far apart. Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, 4-hour train took one last week from Scotland to Manchester. Fuck, that sounds cool. Oh, if there was any other place I could live than the United States, I'd want to go live in the UK. And just witness all these different cultures that are a train right away, and I don't have to take a fucking plane to every fucking place where the infrastructure is not put in place to not have a car there. Like, every in America, you need to have a fucking car wherever you go. I guess not, or be able to afford. So you need to be able to afford all of the shit and a car that you can use to get around. Or if you have more money than that, you have to be able to afford Lyft and Uber everywhere. So it's like, what? What, you proposed and she dumped you? Then you offered a middle ground of a girlfriend? Milton Braylor knocked it right out of the park. You hit the nail right on the head, Broheim. You feel me? You know me? I said, hey, I came with my pizza, the engagement ring on the inside. I said, Karen, will you marry me? She said, no, I'm not ready. I'm 22 years old and I got so many dreams, mister. You can't nail me down, mister. I don't want no man. I'm an independent woman. And then I said, well, are you dumping me? And she says, no, I'm not dumping you because you're a good compliment to what I'm about. And even though I don't need you, I want you. So I said, okay, let's have a middle ground here. When the middle ground is girlfriend. She's, yes, okay. It's me, Karen. Good night, Moxie Fox. Good night. Good night. I will see you next time, Moxie. Thank you for stopping by.
No. I don't want you to leave, but I know you have to, so until the middle ground of saying goodbye.
It depends. I think it is possible to use public transportation. You happen to be lucky enough to live somewhere with good infrastructure. Yeah, I know. You can, but there's not a lot of places in the States, I feel like, that is a viable option. At least not nearly as much as it is in the UK, where you can just go backpacking and shit. Why does Karen sound like Cleveland Brown but pitched up?
No. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why Karen sounds like that.
Oh boy, why do you fucking listen to this? This is premium content. It's premium content, everybody. Me just making squeaky girl noises.
My name is Karen.
Some of our big cities, maybe. Hell yeah, dude. She sounds hot. Thanks.
Thank you.
She is hot. Karen's the hottest. Anyways, everybody, juicy content. You know I got that juicy content, bros and shows. You know your boy coming through with that juicy ass content. Dripping. That fucking swag juice dripping, homie, is what it is. USA is very spread out, makes it hard. It is. It's very tough. It's tough. And we didn't build enough trains. Wish there was more trains in the west coast of the U.S. But there's not! I'd be taking trips out to L.A. and to Arizona all the time if there was. If there was like a 3-hour train ride, holy fuck, that sounds amazing. But then I gotta get on a cramped bus, take 6 hours, get over there, or drive it myself 4 hours, or spend more money on a plane ticket. Oh, it's like 1 hour, but that's not bad. Anyways, everybody, trains are crazy expensive here. Like, a flight is cheaper. Damn, really? That's fucking crazy. Well, I'd take flights then, I guess. I guess flights are better. It's your boy, Brent Moo Kai, coming in. They make too much money off cars here, I think, but that is my theory. That's exactly true. That is absolutely, absolutely true. Insert conspiracy theory about Illuminati controlling travel. It's not Illuminati controlling travel. It's that these places with planes, you might call them airlines. You know, the plane places. The places with all the planes. All of these airlines and buses and, you know, a lot of these transportation places are lobbying against building a train. Because it could be done. It could easily be done, and it would make a lot of fucking travel easier. Same thing with, like, a monorail in Las Vegas that goes throughout the entire strip. Who is it that's paying to lobby against it? There's lobbying. There's people that are paying money to not have mass transit and a monorail in Las Vegas. I know, dude. They want to get that monorail there, but fucking there's no way to do it. But fucking. There's no way to fucking do it because people are paying too much money to stop it. Now, do I think that there's a way to halt progress? I don't. That's why Lyft and Uber are here. So I think ultimately progress will win the day. But how soon will that be? I don't know. I wish that there was a train to Vegas to LA. There's no reason for there not to be. There's absolutely fucking zero reason for a train not to be going to LA. But in America, what we did is we created cars as a convenience, and a bunch of people were not driving cars. They were still walking around everywhere and still taking public transit. And then at some point, cars became absolutely necessary. And then we started building our businesses around that. And so now parking lots are taking up more space than everywhere else. We don't carpool. We barely ever do any of the shit that we, you know, like the public transit system is a fucking joke. And who's lobbying for that? Well, who stands to benefit from that? All of the places that are making money off of the fact that people have to do that. Rental car places, you know. Rental car places and just so many fucking places. And it's just like, don't you understand that all you're doing is making it majorly inconvenient for other people? But it's like, we don't want to lose money. We're huge companies trying to keep our dinosaur age way of thinking. I'm just a guy with my corner office. And all I'm doing, that's all it is. There's some guy making a shit ton of money in his corner office, and there's a bunch of other guys in their fucking corner office, and they all get together and they say, well, we want to keep our corner office job and keep making money. How do we do that? Well, we can't have this progress happen. And so that fucking, like, dude, I don't know. There's just a shit ton of, like, shady shit going on. It's like, I'm sitting here like, stop it. Please, just let Lyft and Uber come to Vegas. And then they did. You know, you cannot fucking halt progress. You can't. Especially like a high-speed train from the West Coast to the East Coast. Exactly. That would be insane. Dude, the cab companies don't realize it's a dying industry. They do realize it's a dying industry, but they're holding on to it. And now, guess what happened? Uber and Lyft came along. But now, how long before Uber and Lyft get cocky? And you know what I mean? Like, how long before that happens? What's up, Quills? How you doing, bro? We have a Maxes and Trimits over here at Oregon. That's tight, dog. But they know it's a dying industry, but that's why they're trying to keep it down. You want to know the real facts, people? I'm gonna hit you with some real fucking facts right now. Do you know the reason why it is so hard to do taxes in America? Why you can't just get a form that's sent to you that says, here are the taxes you pay, please pay them? Because it could be that simple. It could easily be that fucking simple. Do you know why that doesn't happen? There's a shit ton of money lobbying against it. Do you know where that shit ton of money is coming from? Do you want to know where that shit ton of money is coming from lobbying against reform to the tax system so that it can't be changed? It's by fucking... There are huge amounts of money being donated by TurboTax and Intuit and a lot of these fucking places that are online that help you save fucking money. Who help you do your taxes. Because if there was a form that you got sent that just says, hey, here's your taxes, just pay these, we're good, or hey, thanks for paying your taxes. Why is the onus on us to get this and to do it this way and to make it a complicated fucking deal with all of these fucking things? It is online places. Because like as recently as like 2016, I want to say 2012, 2014-ish, somebody was trying to fucking, sounds like the Adam Ruins Everything episode. That's where I learned this shit from. And then I looked it up and I was like, Jesus. This stuff is wild. If you look into everything here in America, you're going to be straight up pissed off. You will be. You will be ampersand, right? Comma. I don't want to get it twisted here. I still believe like this is one of the greatest places to live on Earth. Like, for sure. I wake up every day and I have to remind myself sometimes. Sometimes I have to fucking remind myself, like, yo, stop complaining. I'm living in one of the best. Like, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, you, like, I look at myself in the mirror of the bathroom where I have indoor plumbing and I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, if you look up, like, the amount of people on Earth, modern day 2019, that do not have indoor plumbing, it is fucking frightening. So, like, as mad as I can get about all this stuff, I try not to focus on the outrage because I'm like, there's not much I'm going to do about this. there's not much I'm going to do other than be, you know, in the know and spread that knowledge to people. You know what I mean? Like, there's like people that that can know. But what am I going to do? Spend all my time lobbying against TurboTax and all that shit? I still use them because they're the fucking primary use of how to do taxes well and how to do all this stuff well. I hate it. I don't like it. But am I going to waste all my time on it? No, I'm not going to. I can't waste my time being negative when it's like there's so many more things I can do that are positive with the system that we have. And is the system perfect? No. Is the system ever going to be perfect? No, there's no perfect system. But we're damn well sure better than we were. Like fucking what? Like, you know, even like what? What was it? You know, like fucking 70 years ago, 60 years ago and shit. We still had segregated bathrooms and shit. Like, that wasn't that long ago. Like, there were people who are still alive who remember segregated bathrooms. Like, I'll just let that marinate for just a second. Like, things are getting better. And are they happening as fast as we want them to? No. But are they happening? Yes. And am I going to focus on it's not happening fast enough, or am I going to focus on these things are happening and things are getting better? I would prefer to focus on that. I think things are getting better. I think that the pendulum swings back and forth is in extremes, and we keep swinging one way. I think that's all it is. I think that we say, you know, as an example, my thought is like our parents' parents, right? My age, I'm 29 years old. My parents' parents were like abusive, like physically abusive. And like you hit your kid and that went too far, and then you get bruises, and you know, it was acceptable, and your kid shows up with a bruise at school, and everybody's like, oh, I guess you were acting up, and that fucked up our parents. And so then our parents said, so then that's an extreme in this direction. And then our parents said, you know what? We want to make sure that that never happens and that our kids feel valued. And so they swung it in this other direction. And that's where we get, like, participation trophies and all these other fucking memes and other shit that, you know, comedians will consistently joke about. And then we swung into this direction of, like, you know, complete anti-bullying campaigns and, like, all of the, like, crazy, crazy shit. Not crazy. I like the message behind anti-bullying campaigns. I will say that. But I will say that me being bullied made me a stronger human being earlier than I would have. Like, me having to deal with that adversity at a young age and really having to come to grips with, like, fuck, dude, like, am I, like, that wasn't fun in that moment, but it toughened me up. And, you know, if I hadn't been bullied and I had been just popular and all that stuff, maybe I wouldn't have been a comedian. Maybe I wouldn't have been this. Society's in limbo. Exactly. We're all in limbo. We're taking a step back in women's rights. Never thought I'd see it like it is now. Yeah, that's a bummer. But I think the pendulum will swing back. I think the pendulum will swing back. I think that things, you know, I think that it's always just like boom, 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 boom. But every time that we swing back from one extreme, we learn a little bit more and we self-correct it, and it doesn't swing back quite so far. So are the days of, like, it being okay to just beat your child with a belt over? I think so. I think so. I mean, definitely it hasn't swung back to the days of, you know, of slavery and stuff. So it's like, that's like, ooh. I know. Here's my podcast. I just bring up like fucking 14. I just brought up like 14 hot topic points that are just like boom, 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 boom. And it's just like, man, I don't know. Participation trophies annoy me on both ends. I got participation ribbons in elementary school, and everyone except the person who stole the ribbons from the garbage bin hated them. It was like they were rubbing our loss in our faces. We acknowledged that we didn't deserve them. Yeah, I think kids are smart enough. I think kids understand, like, thanks for the ribbon, but we didn't win, you know? And it's like, I think that you need adversity. I think that here's my whole thought. I think that children need a level of adversity. Now, if that level of adversity is too extreme, Like, if you are getting bullied to the point of, like, you are physically feeling in harm and, like, completely endangered in your life and all that stuff, yeah, that's not great. I got verbally bullied a lot. I got physically bullied a little bit. But I had to deal with that. I had to deal with that and really come to grips with dealing with that adversity. And now I have a lot of... Now I have so much more empathy for the bullies. So much more empathy for the bullies, because now I realize that they were going through some shit at home. Like, they were bullying me for a reason. Like, no kid is just like, I'm going to be a shitty kid for no, absolutely no reason. There's a reason behind it. There's reasoning. I mean, one in a million kids, you know, one in a million people turns out to be a serial killer and their brain chemistry just isn't quite right, you know? But... And heck, no, LOL, I still get ass whoopings. My dad is always like, choose your weapon. Like, well, you're in the UK too, so I guess that culturally, it might be different, you know? People were horrible to me in school. Such a shit buffet of humanity. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've turned it into anti-bullying the bullies is possibly just reversing the victim in some occasions. Could be. I mean... Only good thing I got from high school was my husband. Yeah. Where I had hella adversity during middle school, screw with those whitewashed Asian kids that verbally smacked me around. You know, I think, I don't know. Here is my, well, now that we're in this bullying train, right? Because I've said some shit. Let me clarify my thoughts. I think that it's the middle. I think people need to be focused more on the middle and stop saying we need to stop all of this, right? I think people who are now saying that we are not going to keep score anymore when we play games of soccer, I think that that's wrong. I think that that's wrong because now you're trying to eliminate the spirit of competition. Because what you're saying is ultimately competition makes kids feel bad. Right? Competition says, oh, competition makes kids, the losers, feel bad. That, I think, is healthy adversity. Competition, I think, is healthy adversity where we should have a winner and a loser. Because then when kids grow up and think that they want to play in the NBA because they never got told that they didn't lose, right? It's the barometer, and it sets you up and it helps you cope with the feelings of winning and losing that you're going to experience later on in life, you know? Word, I had hella adversity. Oh yeah, nah, here culture hitting your kid is a no-no. There's child line, but my parents are African, so they don't care. Oh, so they're from a different culture, so that's kind of that's a kind of different thing altogether, too. Like, cultural, like, because from one culture to another culture, and then it's like, I can't imagine what that's like. Because I came from Hawaii, which is technically America, and my mom was from Hawaii. My dad was from Washington. So I kind of got this strange, perspective of both mainland and Hawaii as I was growing up, which I'm super thankful for. But let me go into this. Extremism creates extremism. Militant Brailler, I think that that's exactly right. I think that saying that one thing is wholly always bad is always like, the extremes, that's a Buddhist thing too, that Buddha said, you know, not that I'm Buddhist, but he said, in the two paths of two extremes, the best path is the middle. And I've always thought of that, and I always try to get there. The answer is always, it's both of these things. It's always, you know, I think that the ability to lose and quote-unquote fail is what makes the successes that much sweeter. Because if you don't have any failure, you can't have any real success. You know, participation trophies, I kind of get it, you know, I get what the intent was, and I'm thankful for the intent, which was that we don't want our kids to feel bad, but I think that that adversity is fine. It isn't ever black or white. So that's what I'm saying, I guess, with in regards to a lot of this stuff. I can't even remember how I got into all of this, but It won't make kids strive for the win because there is no win. Right. Yeah. So adversity, you know, adversity, bullying, that's a tougher one. You know, it's like, where does that stop? Like, if you're in, if you feel like you're in physical danger, then that's tough. Right. But it's like, we're going to go through life and there are going to be people who are shitty in life to us. And it's like, if, like, you know, if, for my kids, the best thing I can do is be there for them and make them understand that I'm there and supporting them and that I'm there for them. But to make them understand, like, life is much longer than they think it is. And that life is you deal with so many more fucking things and there's so much more. I don't ever want to put my kid in a bubble and then have them be unprepared for life. Because I feel like that was a big part of how I grew up. Because my parents, you know, so I'm shifting. I'm shifting and going a little further in the opposite direction of that, you know. I'm shifting a little in that direction more so because I'm like, I see the value of how you raised me, but I think that this is how I can build upon that to make my kids even better than, you know, give my kids a little bit, be a better sensei to them, you know. And I think that that's all we're trying to do. I think that's all most people are trying to do. And, you know, for all I know, me having these thoughts might fuck up my kid. It probably will in some way. It's really hard not to completely, you know, it's really hard not to, at least in some fashion, fuck up your kid because of something you did. Because, and so, but you, every single model, you get to see the model of how, what came before, and we're all trying to self-correct on there. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that's a big one. Without failure, we can't find success. And that's a huge improv rule. That's a huge improv law. The failures are celebrated. I think they deserve the encouragement they can get. Their road is hard. Yes. Special needs kids might appreciate being recognized. I agree 100% with that. And that's again, I mean, just in the words, special needs. There's special needs that go into that. If my kid comes out and, you know, has crazy ADHD or has, like, you know, autism or something like that, then I'll have to adjust my thought processes on that. Because they will need something new. They will need something different. So I'm always trying to be empathetic and I'm always trying to think of, like, what, and I always try to think, what was it like when I was a kid and what did people say to me and what annoyed the fuck out of me? And, like, then I start formulating these things, right? What I will say is that having the reason why the anti-bullying stuff to me is because personally for me, I got bullied. I was very upset by it as a kid. I knew that my parents were there for me. They really supported me. It wasn't ever bullying like they're beating the fuck out of me. It was just bullying like calling me names or, you know, shoving me a little bit or, you know, it wasn't like life harming stuff. And those kids, it wasn't like they only targeted me. It was like they targeted all, like, a bunch of different kids. So it wasn't ever like, I think that it's way too far if there's, like, one kid who keeps on bullying one other kid and it just gets into this, like, really weird relationship. That's when I think parent intervention. That's when I'm like, fucking stop that shit. Get your kid the fuck away from my kid because he's only targeting my kid. And it's like your kid is spending all this fucking time. You know what I mean? Like, I got a little roughed around every now and again. I got a little, you know, a little chit chat of whatever, you know, whatever Hawaii people say. I can't even remember. Mahu. It's like, that's a Hawaii slang term for, like, oh my God, why is the word escaping me? Transgender. That's like the transgender way of saying in Hawaii. That's mahu, and, you know, it was the 90s and kids just scream that out. I don't know what that's like anymore. I don't know how you even tease anybody without just crossing over a bunch of lines, but just another way to create resiliency. Yeah, Brent's going to be live in a portable germ bubble for the YouTube likes. Exactly. Failing is hard as hell to take from a person who has taken the failure dick. Yeah, that sucks. Problem is that kids are dying from bullying, and it's unfortunate and sad it's happening. Yeah, there is. I mean, definitely, there's a point where it goes super far. But I don't think that it's wrong to try to stop bullying. I think that it's just like, I think that there are a lot of things that aren't being addressed, and it takes an extreme, right? It hits extremes, and like the I don't know. Here's all it is to me. My dad told me when I was a kid, if somebody like hits me, to hit them back. And I wasn't comfortable with that. I was not comfortable with that. And he said that that's the way to show them that you shouldn't, that you're not the guy who will be hit. And I was like, what if the teacher says something to me? And he was like, I'll take the blame for it. Don't worry. And I didn't have it in me to hit that other kid. I didn't have it in me. I could not. I did not hit the other kid. I just couldn't. And so I figured out how to go around it, you know? And I'm trying to think of what it was that I did. Honestly, I just couple things. I'm trying to think, man. What up, Circle? How you doing, bro? Nice to see you, man. Everybody has their own intricate opinions on this, right? Because it's like, is because of the way that they grew up and because of the background that they have. For me, I guess I'd say that adversity has its place. And that can sometimes take the form of a bully that you overcome. And I figured out my own way of handling the situation. Militant Briller, watching a pair of dragonflies, not sure if they're fighting or sexing. I imagine both. I feel like fireflies like it rough. Parents always told me to turn the other cheek, but that always got me heated. Yeah, so it's like there's never... is better mental health care here? There's like so many different ways to go. And it's like all of the above. Sometimes you need to stand up to the bully. Sometimes for me, it was realizing that the bully wasn't bullying me, and it wasn't just about me. That bully was bullying other people. And so I was like, oh, he does this to like everybody. So then I was like, oh, this isn't about me. He's not doing this because I'm some type of loser. He just does this to everybody. Like, I think I seriously thought that. There were like four or five other kids that he would bully. And then once I realized that, I don't know. It was like, it was crazy because I eventually became friends with that guy. It was really crazy. And I'm not saying that that's the right answer either. I'm saying that there was a right answer for me. And me taking a second to look at the fact that, oh, this guy, like, it really opened my eyes, I guess. So for me, it helped me. And I'm always formulating my ideas on this podcast. And I hope you know that I'm never speaking from a place of like, there's one good answer and that's it. Like, never. I try my best not to. I think that the world is a big gray area. Damn, you were hella smart as a kid, very thoughtful. Well, I overthought everything. That was the thing. When I was a kid, I overthought every fucking thing. So I eventually came to that conclusion, and I saw that I wasn't the only one. For some people, the bullying might have been rougher, but it's all on a context basis. And for some people, maybe it wasn't the bully that was the problem. Maybe it was mental health that was the issue, and that bully could have been healed in some way, but he had a rough home. I remember there was another kid who bullied the fuck out of me and was like an asshole. And then years later, I became friends with his sister, and I found out that like through his sister that their dad was just like an asshole, like just this real piece of shit dad. And it changed my whole thought process. Like in high school, I befriended this girl, found out that her brother was that, and I was like, oh my god, I remember your brother used to bully me, right? Mind spread, what up, dude? Thank you for the prime. So wow, thanks for being a member of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I appreciate you, bro. Let me get some kissies in the chat and some Brent naughty faces. There you go. When I got bullied when I was younger, I would just headbutt them. Circle, you seem like the type of dude who would do that, right? I wasn't that guy. I'm not a violent guy by nature. So, like, but it really taught me important shit that I needed. Now, does that mean that it's necessarily important for everybody? Maybe not. Maybe I'm just being too myopic and my view of that was way too slim. All I'm saying is that I'm glad that we're working towards not having bullies and really, really being safe on that. I'm saying that what I'm not a fan of, and maybe anti-bullying is not the thing that I will stand my ground on saying that this is what is the thing. What I feel like is a better example of it is exactly what I was talking about earlier, which is the whole idea of, like, we want to protect our kids' feelings, so now there's no winners or losers in these sports games that we play anymore. When very clearly, when you grow up and if you want to be a pro football player, there's going to be that. So, like, there's going to be a time when you learn it. I think that there's a lot of good in learning it young and having those experiences young, you know? Hurt people hurt people. Exactly. Hurt people hurt people. That's exactly it. And so, like, when I'm a parent, I'll have to look at this, you know, if my kid gets bullied, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll have to listen to what's happening. And I really will listen. I think that that's the answer. Is that there's no one-size-fits-all answer. My dad's answer was, go hit that other kid. And I was like, he didn't listen to me. That was it. That was exactly it. He didn't listen to me when I was like, I don't want to do that. And everything in my soul hurts when I think about punching another kid. Everything in my soul fucking hurts when I think of that. And he didn't listen to me. And so then I thought that I was doing it wrong. But then I found my own answer to it. Right? I found my own answer to doing this. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that it's mine and that each situation is going to be different. That's where I'm at with that. What a crazy spiral this turned into of a conversation from me announcing that I have a girlfriend. For those of you who came in late, that's true. That is the latest update. Your boy Brent has taken the next level, I guess, with this girl. Which ultimately is just us being comfortable calling each other boyfriend and girlfriend, mostly so that when I go to like a party or like if I, you know, I keep thinking like, what if I run into somebody? What do I say? Oh, this is my friend. Oh, this is my girl. Like, now it's just much easier to just be like, oh, cool. This is my girlfriend. Here you go. I ended up hitting the kid, but I just felt shitty after, but they did leave me alone. Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. Double date. Hell yeah, dude. I'm down for that. Circle. Hit me up, bro. I always will say this. I will say this. Always go down the middle road. There's no one right or wrong answer. No one right, no one wrong answer to anything. See how much of the middle you can get, because that's the thing. I am about to end this podcast episode, but before I leave you all, I would like to let you know in the chat, if you have Discord, go ahead and join me on Discord right there. Yeah, blue kisses at the bullies. That's what you got to do. I think that that's my answer, is more compassion and empathy. To be like, fuck, dude, that kid has it rough. Look at that kid. Look at that kid's parent. Because usually kids who hit kids are the ones who get hit. That's why they now deal with shit by hitting. Shit ton of them, because they learned it from somewhere. I didn't grow up in a household where there was a lot of hands being thrown, so it just wasn't a part of me. I didn't get that. I didn't have that. So you joined it, thank you. Join the Discord family. I'm realizing right now, even if you are listening to this on the podcast, if you are listening to this on your device, join my Discord, please. Look it up. Brent Mukai Discord. Come join the family, because there's no real way. Like, I keep spreading out my announcements. I realized yesterday when I couldn't do it yesterday that I don't have one place where everybody can come find me. And that's a shame. If you have any ideas of how I can get a community together and tell everybody at once a message, whether that's Discord or maybe even a Facebook group, if there's interest in that, please send me a message. Let me know across any of the platforms, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Brent Mukai, at Brent Mukai. Brent, you should Twitch more. I will Twitch more, bro. This is the podcast that never ends. World record hype. Thanks, Milton Braylor. But yeah, check it out on the Discord. Do the thing. I think I know how, Brent. First, you have a working valid Discord link in your panel. I think I know how, Brent. First, have a working... Does this not work? Does this work? Did this not work? Let me see. Is that what you're saying? That it didn't work? No, it worked. What are you talking about, you crazies? I thought it worked. Anyways, yeah. Discord in your panel. Yeah. Oh, in my panel. That's a good point. That's a good point. I'll put it in my panel. Oh, the invite is invalid in the panel. I need to update the panel. I guess I didn't do it. Here's my... In the chat, there's where it is. There's what it is. So join my Discord family from there. Hey, y'all. I love you. Thank you so much. That's all I want is to build this community. It's now getting to the point where people are fucking actually listening. People are actually coming in. People are actually talking. This is really fucking cool. A big part of... It's called Scoop Group. Militant Braylor, here's the issue, though. I don't feel comfortable going into Scoop Group and then saying, hey, I'm going live with my podcast, because it's not Scoop Group related. And I don't want to overstep my boundaries. I love the guys. Shout outs, quick shout out to Ice Cream Social Podcast. They put me on and got, you know, put me in touch with a lot of the cool people that I chat with now. Check them out, Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable going into their Facebook group, and I feel like I'm like kind of stealing a little bit of their hype. When I stream for them, which I will be doing tonight, twitch.tv/heyscoops, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Join me if you'd like. Yeah. Nah, Brent, you need to grow beyond the scoops. You've got your own thing. Yeah, and I kind of have. There's people in here who have no idea what the Scoop Group is and all that stuff, so I'm happy about that. But yes, please join. Come be a part of the Mukulele family. Make your own group. I will make my own group. That is my chore for this week. I will do that by Friday of next week. I will make a Facebook group and kind of funnel that in. Have some fun with that. But thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. I cannot fucking thank you all enough. For real. Like, this is cool. I've built this, and it's like I'm such a baby still in this process of growing and creating this channel and doing all that stuff. If you enjoy this, if this brings you value in any way with, I don't know, helping cope with life or brings you a smile or makes you laugh, please, please, please. Ooh, we get hookers, hookers and blackjack. That's the after party. No problem, Brent. You're cool as fuck. Thanks, Todd81. I thank you. For real. You have no idea how much this means to me that people are willing to watch me live. You could be doing anything else on a Saturday, yet you're here, and that means the world to me. Thank you so much to all of you. I will read off your names in the chat right now. Nerdy Diva, Nikki, Angel of Light, Another TV Viewer, Cash Bear, Commander Root, Cycle Motion, Frank Quills, Froyoke Softster, Gossamer Goddess, Gambling Foo, Heavy Creamer Scoop, Lurks, Militant Brailer, Mindspread, Pole Joe Stalin, Remotely Black Tut81, VNK Virgo Pro, Zen Kinji. Thank you. Fucking thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this. I am going to fucking stream tonight, twitch.tv/heyscoops, if you want to join me on that at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to be playing more Magic. And this is my outro music. For those of you in Twitch who still want something to do, I'm gonna send you over to my good friend Adamant MTG with a nice raid. Adamant MTG. He plays Magic the Gathering. He is a lot of fun. Peace out, everybody from the podcast.